a production of SeeWhatShow.com.
Hi, welcome to See What Show, the movie, TV and DVD review podcast for regular people. I'm Mr. Brown.
And I'm Steve.
And hey guys, this is Movie Mama.
She's Yay! Back! Yay, we miss you!
I know!
Group hug!
Got my stand in the way, sorry.
No, but thanks to all the listeners who were giving me lots of encouragement in the forums. Good to know you're using the forums.
Yeah, well, and leaving jokes for to cheer
it's
you up.
It's quite funny, no?
Yeah, quite good. Go like to the forum.
I like the Gucci Gucci one. It's so lame, right?
The cheer Movie Mama up with some jokes thread.
Some of them were quite painful.
Yeah, that's from you.
But it was sweet.
Yeah, it was. We missed you so much. This week we are reviewing Sicko. And what's the other one?
We're doing Sex and the City, one of my favorite shows of all time. We're reviewing the DVDs.
Mind your language.
And Aquila and the Bee. So
what?
Nice.
Aquila Bee.
Aquila. Aquila. Aquila.
I keep going Aquila Bee. Wow.
Just imagine this big Mongolian man with like.
Okay. What's showing this week?
What's showing this week?
We are.
I must do extra rustle, my honor.
Or more rustle, please.
Nah, you rustle the paper yourself. No.
I rustle for her. I rustle for her.
I pass to Brown the paper.
By the way, people, I'm still high on medication, okay? So forgive me.
What's showing this week? Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four 2, right?
Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. Otherwise known as?
Jessica, Alba and Friends 2.
That's right.
Really?
That's what we call it.
Yeah.
We've been calling it.
A couple of friends saw it over the weekend and pretty much said it was in the same level as Ghost Rider.
Yeah, I'll review it next week. I'll take one for the team. I know the two of you are determined not to watch it.
No, we're determined not to watch it.
Okay, I'll review it next week, okay?
Thank you. The movie is about a big purple cloud called Galactus who wants to eat the Earth. And the only defense is Jessica Alba.
Yay.
And friends.
Are you talking about her friends or her...
Oh, no. Her real friends, those friends.
Ah, yeah, okay.
No.
Her real close friends.
I mean, I was like, these boys being naughty. I don't know, I can't tell.
Jessica and her left friend and right friend.
Oh, dear.
Also showing this week is Legend of the Sea.
It's a cartoon.
It's an animated movie.
Okay.
Right.
It's about Dragon King and he rules all of the water under heaven's orders.
Okay.
Yeah, and his cock-up son who kind of screws it up, man.
Okay, I hope it's better than that last outing we had.
The Zodiac one.
Oh, man.
Oh, you guys watched that?
No, I saw it at the DVD store. I cringed. It was very quickly on sale. And
so is this going to be like a prodigal son sort of story? Or
looks likely.
I think it's one of those, you know, the kid screws up and then goes through this whole journey of redemption to come back to the father kind of thing.
Yeah, if you guys have watched it, you know, drop us a note in the forum.
Also showing is something called Hula Girls. It's a Japanese movie about a Hawaiian village in Japan.
Really?
Yeah, basically the story is there's this little coal mining town.
Uh-huh.
All the daughters of the town, or the miners, right, decided to let's do something different in the town, and they decide to make it into a Hawaiian village.
Seriously? And
oh, that's cute.
Yeah. The only thing is, what's the biggest thing about Hawaii that everybody remembers?
The
hula girls. Right?
Yeah.
Coconuts.
Yeah, the coconuts.
And that too.
Yeah, that covered Jessica's friends.
Yeah, but the hula... Yeah.
Jessica's friends.
Okay, enough of that. My bad.
I didn't think of that until you pointed it out. And now I'm like, it's in my head already.
It's the medication.
I'm sure.
Okay, so the hula girls...
Except they don't know how to dance hula because they're Japanese.
Oh, I see.
So what they do, like they put on grass and they do no theater? Yeah.
No.
All this cultural stuff.
Terrible.
They hire this...
No.
Let me finish, la.
Okay.
They hire this Japanese dance instructor from Tokyo. And this whole story of how the girls, you know, they look up to him and stuff like that.
I'll crush on him. And
sounds interesting, Got chobu or not?
I want to read out cast member name, but I'm not sure whether guy or girl.
Okay. Japanese flick must have chobu.
Sure have one. Yeah, sure the big have... eye, yeah. No chest.
No, but this...
One.
They got chess nowadays. No, but then, I tell you, this story actually sounds quite interesting.
They got
it's like
friends.
One of those simple stories that... Can y'all stop it about the friends?
Okay? Oh, that's him, okay?
I'm going to be talking about friends later and I want to take your minds out of the gutter.
You're talking about Sex and the City.
Okay.
That's true, too.
Let's start reviews.
See what show? Review time.
First off, Sicko. by Michael Moore.
This is Adam. He had an accident. He's one of nearly 50 million Americans with no health insurance.
You know him, of the Fahrenheit 9/11s.
The very angry guy, the beard.
Yes, Bowling for Columbine. Both I enjoyed, actually. He's back with a new documentary.
Mockumentary.
Yeah, man. It's called Sicko. And Michael Moore this time looks at the healthcare situation, or lack thereof, of Americans. According to him, many Americans don't have health insurance. And those who do are not adequately covered. So he goes around exposing and looking at this phenomenon, and apparently got a lot of mail. He put up a he put up a post, some website thing, asking for, you know, stories about, you know, Americans' experience with healthcare. Slip of the tongue. And he got a lot of stories. So the movie is both very funny and sad at the very same time. It's a weird thing. You see the extent of the people who fall through the cracks. Like this dude who lost his fingers in a chainsaw accident.
Yikes.
Yeah, the tips of his two fingers.
Ouch.
And he had to choose between paying 12K to save his ring finger or 60K to save his middle finger because he wasn't covered.
This is Rick.
I was ripping a piece of wood and I grabbed it right here and it hit a knot.
He sawed off the tops of two of his fingers.
And just zipped.
Rick also doesn't have health coverage. So the hospital gave him a choice. Reattach the middle finger for $60,000 or do the ring finger for $12,000.
And then other people who are covered, what they found was they claimed that the health insurance companies try to not give them the treatment they want, like deny them for whatever reason, come up with a lot of excuses.
Kind of sounds like AppleCare.
Oh, yeah, but you know, in AppleCare, you don't die.
Don't diss Apple.
Yeah, you don't
we
die
want to
from
make
it.
Friends with them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Apple,
not in the
our
way
friend.
You guys said friends just now.
Shit. Not those friends. And the insurance stuff is really scary because they get. In America, they don't have like universal healthcare.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's all privatized.
No MediSafe.
Yeah.
No MediSafe.
Yeah.
It's all privatized. So you have to buy private insurance in order to cover yourself. Mm-hmm. If you don't qualify, you're screwed. Mm-hmm. If you qualify, you're also screwed, apparently, if you look at Michael Moore's story.
Also, he will have you believe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There are actually people who are do nothing but try to find ways of rejecting your claims or delaying it. Or if they pay you already, they try to get it back. So it's very insidious. And he goes to France and England where the healthcare is free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, they pay heavy taxes there, but the money actually gets plowed back, and literally it's free. You can give birth for free. Mm-hmm. Anybody sick, rich or poor, get free treatment in England through the NHS, National Health Service. Mm-hmm. In France as well, and in France even more radical. They even have a house call service. The doctors come and visit you. You got stomachache, you call this hotline, and the doctor will show up at your door at night at 3 a.m. in the morning.
Cool,
and it's free. It's interesting because it's a documentary and a comedy.
It's satirical again.
It's very satirical,
style,
yeah. You have to take his stuff with a huge pinch of salt.
Yes.
Because he tends to exaggerate and take things out of context. But when you see the number of examples he gives, the evidence is so damning that I think there is truth in what he's saying. And you wonder why Americans can like swallow this kind of injustice for this long.
But
it's very compelling.
The thing about Michael Moore is that there is always truth in what he says, but he designs it.
Yeah.
He designs it. He designs how you perceive it and how you see it. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm very keen on watching it now.
You should watch it.
Yeah, but I'll definitely take it with a pinch of salt.
You have to. You watched Sex and the City DVDs.
That's right. Now, today I'm going to be talking about the only television show that had one of their lead characters say the words clitoris and sphinx in the same sentence.
City tourists.
Yeah, that's here. You don't know where to find her.
I think don't do that.
Do what? Well, I'm sorry, I'm upset.
Well, don't be. You'll be even more upset when your face is all lined.
This series cheered me up while I was stuck in bed. Sorry.
When movie mom says that word, clitoris, it's like...
What is this about silly tourists?
So nice. Like, it doesn't sound dirty at all.
It's not dirty.
Of course.
Excuse me.
Of course it's not dirty.
It's a part of the body. And okay, it's a sexual... Anyway.
Okay.
Okay, now this series cheered me up while I was stuck in bed recovering. And I tell you, I can watch the DVDs over and over again. It's intelligent, brave, funny, and f***ing sexy.
Beep. Hey, hey.
Then leave it for my review later, lah. Mind your language.
I have to say it that way. I mean, we are talking about Sex and the City. Oh. You know, I first got to know them, you know, the girls, when a friend lent me season one's DVD when I was down under. And once I started, I couldn't stop. I went out the very next day. I bought all six seasons. Blew my money on that. Spent the week watching every episode. I swear to God, I ate instant meat in front of my computer and I just watched every episode, laughing and crying with Samantha, Carrie, Miranda, and Charlotte. Now, these four ladies from New York became icons for modern women all over the world. And it's the characters who drive this dramedy, so that's what I'll share with you all today, lah. Carrie Bradshaw is the main character, and she's played by the affable, pun fully intended, Sarah Jessica Parker. Carrie's a sex columnist and the narrator of the series. We follow as she falls in and out of love with men, her friends, and herself. And she is famous not just because she's so goofy and greedy and romantic, but for her outfits. Now, fashion in Sex and the City became almost as famous as the characters, if not
more. She's got like her own boutique now or something like that.
Yeah,
she's got her own line. Yeah, that's right.
But it's not high-end.
And she's got her own perfume and everything as well. But it's just the outfits they made her wear were outlandish. Some were so sexy and slinky. And some were just weird, like, okay, seriously. I don't care if it's Ferragamo or whatever. It just looked weird. So we move on to the blonde, Samantha. She's sassy. She's overconfident, I may say. And she's a man-eater who loves to f***. She's the naughty one who celebrates... She would say it that way,
She's trying to be true to the series.
Okay.
I'm a diehard fan,
All the men in here seem kind of old.
That's because you're dating Smith, who's basically a zygote.
I'm not dating him, I'm f***ing him. Now I'm looking for someone else to f***.
Well, I think you may have come to the right place.
But she's the naughty one who really celebrates the physical intimacy, all right? And pushes her friends to embrace their sexual side with no shame. However, as the episodes kind of progress, you'll see that she has a heart as big as a sexual appetite. And you can't help but love her.
That means her heart very big, huh?
Extremely big, actually.
If you put it that way, it's a big heart.
Too.
Yeah, it's a big-ass heart.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hey, no, but I suppose you say that. So you really can't help but love her. She's adorable, you know. Damn funny, lah.
Yeah, I like her, so.
Yeah. Now, Charlotte, she's the brunette, the very sweet one, the one who wears... hairbands, okay? Let's just put it that way. She's the sweetie pie of the group and the most traditional of them all. She wants to find that one perfect man, settle down, have babies, make love, you know?
Make love.
Yeah, that kind, you know? And of course, the real world kind of dashes her princess dreams. And that's where the friends come in and they stand up for her and stuff. But one thing I like about her, no matter what, right? No matter what, she stands up for what she believes in. You know, no matter what the world says and how times have changed and whatever. And in the end, it doesn't get her so bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. She's very sweet.
She's very, she's sweet. So a bit annoying, lah.
Sweet and too very annoying, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, when she starts getting naughty,
but she's
that's
not acute sweet.
Well, a bit acute.
She's the prettiest, yeah, I feel.
Huh?
She's the prettiest of the
most
four.
Most conventional prettiest, yeah. You're right, she's pretty, lah. She's the one.
Yeah.
Quick, go to my favorite character now.
I know, it's my favorite character as well. Oh my God, this is the best female character ever written for television in my humble opinion, lah, okay? Her name is Miranda Hobbs. Now, she's the redhead, okay, in Sex and the City. A brave, cynical lawyer who is more intelligent than cute, but has remarkable these eyes of hers, I tell you. And she has a damn hard time dealing with her love life because, in her opinion, you know, her love life is just filled with stupid penises when she wants just a real, complete man. And it's so hard to find in New York, right? Everyone's a modelizer and... yeah, I love that term. Now, she has the best lines in the show, is the most real character, is funny and smart and scared and honest, and she's an absolute riot, okay? I love her. So, Sex and the City is a must-see for both men and women. Now, women, these are the best friends you need to have. Watching it is both liberating and heartwarming. It's so good to have a laugh at men and ourselves once in a while, you know? Men, watch it so that you'll be able to find the clitoris. Learn more about what women want and, well, just have a laugh with those lovable broads. I highly, highly recommend the show. As you can tell, I'm gushing. I think it's good for the spirit and you guys should really go buy all six DVDs of the box.
Go buy,
I'm trying
and go
not
watch.
To laugh because Movie Mama said Friends just now. But
again.
Can you get over it?
Yeah, okay. But I have to say that the series was really... good to watch on DVD, because if you watch it on TV, they finally brought it to HBO.
They had so many cuts.
Cut. And you lose a lot of the witty banter.
And
you
the
lose,
momentum,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the momentum is there. You have to watch it
in
its
entirety.
It was
one of those breakthrough series which actually brought forth a lot of women's issues.
I think we watched it in season... We brought it in... Singapore allowed it in on season 5
season,
or
the
6.
Last season.
Well, my favourite seasons are 2 and 4.
Yeah.
Okay, and you once you start on 1, you won't be able to stop till 6. Unless you've got no heart lah, then I don't friend you.
Or you didn't buy the DVD, then that's your problem.
Yeah, so yeah, go out, get it. It's good for the soul. It's great to get, you know, your girlfriends around the TV, watch it, you know.
Even watch it again.
Guys, don't watch with your friends lah. That will just turn... messy.
I'm trying not to think.
Mind your language, man. Why? Mind your language, okay?
I didn't say any bad word, what? Y'all are terrible.
You.
Watch Charlotte.
Another DVD.
Yes.
Very proper, y'all.
I have a blast from the past for everyone. Do you guys remember these terms? Jolly good.
Si,
professori. And 1,000 apologies.
1,000 apologies for my lateness. The omnibus was going backwards.
I'm sure there must be a more logical explanation.
It is the absolute truth.
No, I think you meant it was going the other way.
That is the gist of what I'm saying. 1,000 apologies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bro, I know you definitely know your good.
Yeah, because it's like, not only that, it's, you know, one of the characters there, and the lead character is named after me. I was named after, I don't know. I don't know who came first.
Yeah, because I know you're of the appropriate age to have caught it when it was first shown on TV.
Yeah, it was very good. Mind Your Language.
Yes, talking about the late 1970s smash hit TV series Mind Your Language.
It's out on DVD, yeah?
It's out on DVD. It's been out on DVD for a while, but I only just recently picked up the DVD. Mm. So, when I watched it, definitely must share with you guys. If you've never heard of Mr. Brown, no, not that one, huh?
No, no.
I'm pleased to meet you all.
We are also pleased to be meeting you.
I am Brown.
Oh, no. You are committing a mistake. You are not Brown. We are Brown. You are white.
My name is Brown.
TV, Mr. Brown.
TV one, better one, actually. And his ragtag bunch.
Oh,
I love you, Brown. That, huh?
That's my feelings.
Okay. Anyway, and his ragtag bunch of English students, where have you been for the last 30 years?
Yeah, must watch.
Okay.
In a nutshell, Mr. Brown is a night class teacher who teaches English to foreign persons who are working in Great Britain. He's your typical straight-laced English teacher with lofty ambitions of someday teaching in a private school and making a difference in the lives of his students. But somehow or other, he gets employed at a night class where he teaches the most mismatched bunch of foreign persons you can find.
They're hilarious, like, when you put them together.
Yeah, all of them, yeah.
I'll just bring out a few, like the French sex pot, Daniel.
Daniel.
Daniel Favre.
Yeah.
Who for most of the season is the major eye candy.
Yeah.
And she lusts after the attention of Monsieur Brown.
Monsieur Brown.
Yeah. Of course, you always have the two buddy-buddy, sex-crazy, girl-crazy Lotarios. You got the hilarious Maximilian Papandreou and Giovanni Coppello.
The Italian, the other
the
one
Italian
is the Greek.
And the Greek.
Yeah.
In the other order.
Greek and the Italian.
Yeah, the Greek and the Italian. Anyway, and, of course... If you're going to make typecast part of this show...
Yeah, let's go all the way, right?
You go all the way. You have the Chinese girl who will make Chairman Mao proud.
Uh-huh.
Suli, it is...
It is duty of every citizen to overthrow imperial woman. So say Chairman Mao.
Yes, well, that's his opinion.
And who could ever forget the ever apologetic Ranjit Singh?
Ranjit. Oh. 1,000 apologies.
Yeah, so the series follows the escapades of Mr. Brown and gang through various plots, some of which involve the police, birds, and boxing matches.
And the straight-laced principal.
Oh, yes. Ms. Courtney.
Courtney, yeah.
She's scary looking. Scary, even by today's standards,
very matronly.
She'd be scary looking. Yes, that's the word. Matronly.
Matronly.
Yeah. Mm. One of my favourite episodes is when the whole school gets decked out for the impending arrival of Her Royal Majesty the Queen for a visit to the school.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Does it actually happen?
No, not really. Not so much.
Not so much.
Yeah, so the students, you know, they get this brilliant idea. Okay, let's dress up in our national costumes. So Juan, the Mexican dude, the Spanish dude comes in as a matador.
Yeah.
And the little Indian girl comes decked out in her sari, the Chinese girl in her Mao suit.
Yeah.
But my favorite.
She's always in her Mao suit.
No, she's sometimes in the nice. Chipao kind of
thing. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, something like that.
All right.
Then my favorite is when Giovanni, the Italian dude, he comes out in this pinstripe suit and violin case.
Where?
mafia.
He's representing Sicily, the mafia.
So that's his national costume.
Of course, when Miss Greece came out, it was also quite funny. La.
Oh, was she wearing?
You know the Greek national costume, like got frilly skirt.
Oh, and... that one, yeah. Oh, she wore that.
Oh, dear.
It's very funny. How many episodes were there?
In the first season, there were about 16 episodes.
How many seasons altogether?
4 seasons. The fourth season only lasted maybe half a season. Because by then, a lot of the cast had left the show and it wasn't as fun.
So you're talking about...
I'm talking about the first season where you were introduced to all the characters at one go.
Less than 60 episodes.
Altogether?
Yeah.
15. Yeah. About 15. There. Yeah, less than about... Maybe about 50 odd
something,
episodes. Yeah.
Wow, that's fun stuff. Count again. You watch one shot, right?
I watch one shot. One Saturday and Sunday gone. Each episode puts the students in different scenarios and it never gets dry. The humor is based a lot on the premise that the students cannot speak English.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious, I tell you, when the things that they say in reaction to Mr. Brown, some of the best bits are heavily innuendo and racy.
Yeah, that's British humor.
Yeah. So go check it out.
Yeah.
Rent it if you can, because it is a lot of DVD to buy.
Is it?
Yeah, it's one big stack.
Oh yeah, 4 seasons.
And I'll leave you with my favorite phrase from the whole show.
What's that?
Sorry, Bosch.
Sorry, very quickly, lastly, but not leastly, I watched Aquila and the Bee. Aquila and the Bee is a very, very charming movie from last year, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Very low-key, came into Singapore for a short while. Mm. And it's about a little black girl called Aquila, A-K-E-E-L-A-H, Aquila, who's from South LA, who's very smart and very, very good at spelling.
You know, you could be one of my very best students. Have you heard of next week's spelling bee? Well, I think you should sign up for it.
Oh, no wonder called bee.
And the bee, spelling bee. Yeah. So, Lawrence Wishburne is, you know, a.k.a. Morpheus, is Dr. Larrabee.
He's in this movie?
He's in this movie.
Oh my God.
Aquila.
I didn't get to the National Bee until I was 14 years old. You have an opportunity to win this thing.
Has he lost weight?
Yes.
Where?
But I think he's still a little bit tubby. I can see a bit.
Hey, he's got a little better.
Dr. Larrabee is this spelling bee coach who takes her under his wing to train her to compete at the national level.
Only the Americans would have a spelling competition at the national level.
It's hardcore.
Only the Singaporeans would kind of copy it
on TV.
And do it badly.
Yeah. This spelling bee thing is hardcore. Okay, it's very, very difficult. And she comes from this school, which is like a neighborhood school, what we call a neighborhood school, and people don't always disturb her, bully her and all that. Yeah. And Lawrence Wishburne comes in, invited by the principal of the school, who's his old friend, to help them find someone to represent, because he thinks that if we can get one of our kids into even a regional level spelling bee,
it'll be good for the school though.
Yeah, school will get funding, because they're really like so poor, they can't even afford books, you know. And I saw Lawrence Wishburne, I was like, I half expected him to say, Aquila, you are the one. You know, he's got a whole voice going on, like the one. You can't get away from Morpheus.
You can't do that properly when you don't have the coat.
I don't have the coat. And the sunglasses.
And the handphone.
That have no handles.
I got a handphone.
Yeah. The old Nokia.
Old banana
and Nokia.
Handphone. Oh, yeah.
So we follow Aquila as she journeys through, like, you know, the kung fu like that, learn how to get better at spelling.
Right.
And there's more to it, just memorizing words, you know. It's very fun.
You've got word construction down, etymology, memorization techniques. What you need to do now is just focus on the words.
She's taught how to learn the origins of words, like whether it's Greek-based or Latin-based.
Yeah. I've seen an episode, I've seen a shot on ESPN the other day. It was a spelling bee competition.
Yeah, hardcore, you got TV, everything.
I tell you some of the words I also don't know.
Yeah. Etymology of words, history of words, right?
Yeah.
And you have to memorize phrases like written by famous writers, so you learn how they use the words.
Yeah.
So instead of just, you know, rote memorizing. And she makes friends with a lot of people who are in this spelling thing, and she makes new friends and fellow nerds, so she doesn't feel so left out anymore. And her mom is the widow who is struggling as a nurse and as a mom to Aquila and her two older brothers.
Mm.
One is an Air Force pilot, and then there's another brother who is really, really like bitter about the death of the father and getting wayward. So the mom's not very keen on her wasting her time, inverted commas, on this spelling bee thing, because she thinks you're just going to study, don't go and waste time on this bee thing.
Yeah. Akilah Anderson, you done lost your mind. You 11 years old. You don't be taking a bus to Woodland Hills by yourself.
There's nobody around to take me.
That's because I work.
That's what you said on the weekend.
This spelling thing means sneaking off to the suburbs by yourself. I'm calling it all off.
We can't call it off. I'm going to the regional B.
Not if you flunk out of school, you're not.
She has to win her local competition, which is like California, her region of California.
State,
yeah, and then she goes to regionals, which is state level. Mm-hmm. Then when you win the top three of the state level, will compete at the nationals with hundreds of kids who are all seasoned. A lot of them are seasoned vets. And her nemesis is this Chinese boy.
All right, Chinese dude.
Yeah, who's been second place.
Chinese dude to win, I'm sorry.
No, he's been he's very good. The father grilled him. So he's been second place twice already at national level, which is very, very good.
Oh,
but the father still want him to win number one. So he's got everything to lose if he doesn't win this time. And he doesn't. Yeah, he very looked down on Akilah, you know. And the movie was made by Starbucks Entertainment. Very weird.
What?
I didn't. Yeah, they financed it. And it's very weird. And at first I thought, ah, silly, like product placement movie or what lah. Then it's targeted at younger audience somehow. But when I watched it, it was really good. Strong message, you know. It's a very strong story, good acting. And it's never over the top. Never over sentimental. You know, these movies can get like that.
But is it Hallmark?
No, it isn't. Hallmark is soppy.
Yeah.
This one is uplifting and touching. And it starts to mobilize, you know, the community around her. Mm. She becomes like an icon for the community because it's not you know, with the poor, you know, it's the poor part of town. And people start to rally and help her.
Mm.
She doesn't, in the end, you know, one of the things that really stands out is Dr. Larrabee is not her only coach. The whole community becomes her coach. They help her. It's very exciting. You must watch it. Watch it yourself. Watch it with the kids. Rent it, buy it. It's a good movie. That's See What Show for this week. Bumper crop of stuff today.
Four movies.
Four stuff. And we'll be back. Enjoy all the movies this
we'll
week. And Fantastic Four is next week.
What movie are we watching next week?
I don't know. Transformers. Oh yeah.
Same disguise.
Next week got Transformers.
Yes.
Damn you, Michael Bay.
So watch for it.
Look out for it.
Thanks, listen out for it. Bye.
Bye.
All right, boss.
Transformers and friends.
Transformers do not have friends.
Ooh.
What?
That's like Austin Powers.
A production of Scene. What? Show.com.